Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's a beamless night as I lay here sleepless. It's a beamless night as I'm waiting for you. There's no victories when you're not shining. And now my soul is as dark as the sky. Maybe I don't even need you. Maybe I don't even think you. Maybe you're just nothing but a dream. Because it's a beamless night, as I lay here sleepless. It's a beamless night, and waiting for you. There's no victories when you're not shining, and now my soul is as dark as the sky.
Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo, the podcast that you know.
Well, here we are. Another tough loss for the Sacramento Kings. Second night of a back-to-back. Got some good news. Malik Monk is back. At the last second, we hear about a starting lineup change. Yeah. Keon Ellis is in the fold, taking the place of Kevin Huerter. Ooh, how's it going to look? First half.
Oh, hats off.
Competitive. Oh, yeah, we got some fights. We're getting some stops, making some shots.
Fun
close
basketball.
Game, 1-point game at the half. Oh, my God, it was close with about 4.5 minutes to go in the third quarter. It's a 1-point game. And then Oklahoma City went, ha, 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 ha. We are the elite of the elite. In Sacramento, you are not very good. They absolutely take over, close the third quarter on a massive run, an 18-6 finish, and then they just kept going and going. The Oklahoma City Thunder, absolutely relentless. Shot making, defense, physicality, the extra pass, everything Sacramento wants to be, Oklahoma City is consistently, shorthanded or not, without Chet, without Caruso. You wouldn't know. They beat the Sacramento Kings 130-109. Sacramento has now lost 4 in a row. They're 8-10, and they're also 4-6 on the home floor. They get on a plane tomorrow morning, go to Minnesota for the T-Wolves, then fly back to take on the Blazers in Portland, a Blazers team that I think they only lead by one game in the Western Conference. The Kings are in a world of hurts. I'm Deuce Mason. That's Morgan Reagan. I know how you're doing. You're shitty. Right?
Yeah.
I was not ready for this. And I know I said this on the pre-show, Morgan, but I was not mentally prepared for it to be going like this at this point of the season. It's one thing like, hey, man, tough year. Oh, first round and disappointment. At this point, it is not even Thanksgiving.
Oh, you're so bad.
And we are in serious trouble right now with the Sacramento Kings.
I wasn't coming in tonight against the Thunder going, Kings gotta get right against the number one defense in the league. What, you know, what are we gonna see?
Yeah.
What we saw though in that first half was competitive basketball, was a style of basketball that you know you've seen flashes of with this team. You've even seen full games with this team, with that style of play, with that competitive nature. But I think right now, because we are down in a slump, and then the way that you responded in that second half, and like you said, mostly with 4 minutes left in third and so on, after officiating had some bullshit calls, and after you weren't making any threes, that's where the worry comes from. You know, I think like you really, you take a step back. OKC, really good, was expecting this type of play, was not even expecting for the Kings to come out the way they did. And I was very impressed. But where the down feels is not from a loss. It's truly from how they played the rest of the game for a quarter and a half, where I'm like, okay, well, this is, they're kind of just showing what they are. And you throw everything at them. You try all these different things. You don't even start Kevin Hurd, and you start Keon Ellis, and then you have to get Isaac Jones in there, and you have Malik Monk back, all the things you already mentioned. And it's still like, it's not, it doesn't feel good enough is yeah, what I'm feeling.
I mean, the second half was atrocious, right? Pretty much from the 4 minute mark on, of the 4.5 minute mark on of the third quarter to the end of the game was bad. And you got to score 67 to 47 down the stretch. But look, if you lose to OKC tonight and you had taken care of business against Atlanta and Brooklyn, right?
Yes.
Against the Clippers, yes. Like you show up better against the Clippers, then we're probably not, we're not in our feelings right now. But this is like, the season feels like it's free falling right now.
Yeah.
And the things that we're seeing are the same things we're seeing all the time. And this is where the Kings season is at. They have a team that's built around Fox, DeRozan, and Sabonis. Those guys averaging 20 points per game
yep.
each, right? 20 over 20 game, the trio. Awesome. The problem is you have those guys and the shooting is not there. And we can go ahead and be like, well, you know, track record, it could turn around.
That was us.
Look,
we were saying that.
It's been 18 games. One of the guys you counted on to be one of your good shooters is Kevin Huerter. He was coming off the bench in this game, ended up only playing 10 minutes. The other guy, Trey Lyles, who has struggled this year, been banged up and out of the lineup, comes back, finally showing some signs of life, calls to the bench in this game, early second quarter, has a calf injury. Okay. Then you think about Keegan, who has not found his stroke at all from three. Malik couldn't knock him down tonight, and he hasn't knocked him down this season. So basically what I'm saying is you do not have a good three-point shooting team surrounding Fox, Sabonis, and Murray. Excuse me, Fox, Sabonis, and DeRozan. So what that means is some nights you're going to win just because those guys are going to be good, mm-hmm. and they're going to be awesome. And then maybe two others knock down a couple of threes, and you're going to have a chance. But on a night where Fox isn't what he's been,
yeah,
and you get no three-point shooting from anywhere else, you're not winning. And again, Sacramento, 8 of 32 from downtown, that's 25%. 25%. How many times have we seen the Kings shoot 25% in a ball game this year out of 18 games? Far too many times. And then you go into the second half, they were 1 of 13 from downtown in the second half. OKC 7 of 15. You can't make threes in this league, and you don't really defend threes well. You're not winning. You're not winning games. And this is where the Kings are at 8 and 10. We can go ahead and be like, man, why didn't they just play better in the second half? You know why they didn't? Because they're not good enough. They're not good enough. In Oklahoma City, that's an elite team that 2 years ago was like a play-in team while you were the number three seed, and they have surpassed you. They surpassed you last year when they were the number one seed. They're number one again. They're banged up. It doesn't matter. They're disciplined. They've got elite athleticism. They've got size. They've got length. They've got defensive prowess. They play the right way. They got an absolute star in SGA, and you are left with looking around going, is anyone else here today? So
that's what, and I think that's, you see around the league that if you have a big three of Kevin Durant, Beal, Devin Booker, by the way, Durant and Beal out right now, But
coming back.
But you see what they started with at the beginning of the season, right? They were playing well together. Those three, like, there's just so much dominance there. Like, that's a, they're a different caliber of like three players that have done certain things in their careers. And I look at Sabonis, Fox, and DeRozan, and on paper in the beginning of the season, I'm like, oh yeah, like that, that can go in that direction. And obviously, at times, we've seen it before the injuries, especially when things were meshing, you're like, oh yeah, it can go in that direction. But it still didn't feel like it was enough consistency from the rest of the roster. So then I just look at the roster construction and I start spiraling because I go, how is it that Kevin Huerter has so many ups and downs? How is it that Trey Lyles, when he is coming off the bench, is all of a sudden scoreless again? You know, and then Keegan Murray in the last two games has been far more aggressive. And these are the games that the, like, we're all spiraling looking at this Kings team as a whole going, nothing's good enough.
There's a lot to unpack here. Let's go back to the game for a second and when this game turned, okay? Because we mentioned at halftime, Sacramento, you're feeling good about things, right? It was like just a, it was a great first half of basketball, back and forth, lead changes galore, tie games back and forth. Oklahoma City had a good lead. They led by one at the half, 63-62. And you think about this. You had DeMar with 19 points on 9 of 12. They had no answer for him. Yep. SGA was spectacular. He had 18 points, 6 assists on 7 of 10 shooting. Sacramento, 7 of 19 from 3 in the first half. Oklahoma City, 7 of 15. Like, okay, well, it's equal right now. Sacramento ends up just knocking down one the rest of the way. Third quarter happens. It felt like some more whistles were going off, and you could tell the Kings were frustrated with that.
Bullshit whistles. Sure. And yes, and I feel like the Kings have done, a good job this season so far of controlling what they can control and not letting that get too much to them. The blatant flops, it's really hard when officials are calling that shit. Yeah. But again, that was just a couple of calls.
So you're seeing Fox picks up his third early on. Monk picks up his fourth. He's frustrated. It is 79-78 with about 450-ish to go. Keon Ellis has to go to the locker room, and Sabonis is shaken up on a bizarre play where Sabonis was, like, matched up with Kenrich Williams, and, like, he was not decisive. He was just trying to battle him, and, he twists his ankle, and then Ellis goes to the locker room. So at the 436 mark, your lineup was Fox, Monk, Huerter, DeMar, and Sabonis. They immediately go to work and start hunting Kevin Huerter. And then SGA comes back in the game. And this is when Fox and Keegan are on the floor. Yet Kevin Huerter is still picking up SGA.
I didn't get that.
Last night, to start the game, Kevin Huerter was defending Cam Thomas to start the game. No. And SGA is almost an impossible cover. The Kings threw a ton of different looks at him in this game, no doubt about it. They blitzed him. He made the right play. He found Hartenstein on the short roll who would find a cutter or find a shooter. They made the right play every time. Like, he was not going to hold on to the ball. It was easy for him. He's like, oh, blitz has come. Here we go. One-on-one, good luck. Switching, showing high. It did not, nothing worked. SGA is a special talent. But I can tell you what is not going to work is having Kevin Huerter on him one-on-one. And SGA just went to work, and the Thunder closed that quarter in unbelievable fashion. They pretty much won the game by sucking the life out. The refs might have, like, frustrated the Kings with some calls, whatever.
Shifted the momentum,
but it was
whatever.
The final 4:36 of the third quarter where Oklahoma City closes on that 18-6 run. That's a crusher. That's a crusher. So
that was like, what a night, like,
92-80 at the end of the third, by the way. 92-80. So you're down a dozen. And at that point, it's like, you're not coming back on Oklahoma City's defense. Mm-mm. They're locked in. You're not coming back.
Momentum did shift completely in that end of the third. And that's where I never felt like anything was inspiring the Kings in the fourth. You know, where I know De'Aaron could have those moments, the big fourth quarter, and go off. But against the number one defense in the league that has length size, all the things that screws with him. And by the way, on their team, they have a player just like him. So they know exactly the kind of shit that they need to practice all season long to try and slow down somebody of that nature. You're not always going to be able to slow them down, but Lou Dort did a good job denying De'Aaron at times.
He did.
And like we said, the way that they would pack the paint, and they could pack the paint because nobody can make a 3-point shot anyway, a spray three, whatever. I mean,
and they also have the ability to recover.
And they have the ability to recover.
Meanwhile, Oklahoma City was getting in the paint and help would come. And guess what? They've got shooters around.
They've got shooting around.
Jalen Williams knocked down 3 of 4 from downtown in the fourth quarter. Jalen Williams had more threes in the fourth quarter than the Kings had in the second half.
Okay.
He got good looks. You know, Isaiah Joe coming in, knocking down some threes. Just backbreaking moments, second chance threes, backbreaking. And yeah, look, I know the Kings didn't have a good second half, you know, but I think it had more to do with Oklahoma City than it did with Sacramento just missing shots. Like, Oklahoma City went to another level. They are absolutely ferocious and relentless.
Yeah.
They get after you. And they play hard on both ends. They play with force. Jalen Williams, him attacking, not only from three, but getting to the basket.
Oh, my God.
He ends up finishing this game with 28 points. He had 5 assists, 4 rebounds on 10 of 16. SGA had 37 points on 13 of 24, 7 from 3. I thought Hartenstein in his second game with OKC, fantastic. 17 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists for him on 8 of 14.
He's so physical. So physical. I mean, I could name all the times where I'm like, that's a foul. It doesn't matter, though. If you do it, if you create this tone and this identity of this is what I'm going to do all game, what are you going to do? Call every single foul on me? No, you won't. No, you won't. Like, you're going to get away with things. And hats off to him for doing that, because I thought his physical play was huge for OKC, especially against Domas, who, by the way, was battling back just as hard. He wasn't just throwing his arms up, getting frustrated. I don't know how many turnovers he ended up with.
He had 4, so he's okay. Up to 35 turnovers over the last 7.
Oh, that does not feel good. That doesn't feel good.
Yeah, it's they're in a really bad spot right now, and unfortunately, punting games early, losing games that maybe you wish you didn't, having some injuries early on hurt. Of course, having Monk miss 7 games, they were 2-5 without Monk. He returned tonight. DeRozan, Sabonis missing games didn't help things either. But the Kings had their opportunities, and by the way, they were playing shorthanded teams too, like Atlanta. Miss Jalen Johnson, right? Like,
yep.
That's a big time loss for them.
Yeah.
Right? The Nets, they were shorthanded without Schroeder, who had 31 in a comeback win against the Warriors tonight, right?
Yeah.
Without Dorian Finney-Smith. The Clippers, no Norm Powell. Like, so we could tell everyone's banged up in the league right now. The Mavs, they're banged up. Luka hasn't been playing. They're finding ways to get it done. Mm-hmm. And Sacramento isn't. And now the schedule's going to get more challenging. You know, DeMar and Domas have been back for 3 games now, and you've lost 4 in a row.
It's not good. It's not good. But, I think that's kind of where I feel after tonight. Because, again, I said this in the beginning of the podcast. If the Kings had found a way to lose this game in the fashion that they played, just like they did in that first half, I'm coming in here, I know, and so many people would be like, your standards are low, blah, blah. I don't care. Not all losses are created equally, and especially after the shit basketball that they played against Brooklyn, I would have been like, all right, now how can you take this on against the shittier teams in the league? I love what we're seeing. But you got to do 4 quarters of it. That's the game. And then you think about the simple things of basketball too, Deuce. Just this roster alone, I look down the line and I go, there's just not enough players doing enough things on this roster. You can have your 3-star players get theirs and create for others. And if they're creating for you, but you're not making your shots, like, it's a team sport. You're not going to win. You need everybody out there contributing in one way or another.
Yeah, I just also look at this game and go, Oklahoma City's just, they're at a different level. They're playing a different game than Sacramento right now. They're elite. They're elite. And Sacramento's nowhere near them, right? Even with the talent that they may have with that trio, they're just nowhere near them. And so Sacramento's left at 8-10 now through 18 games with a game against Minnesota coming up. Big picture-wise, it's going to be a challenge here. I mean, you did not get this roster, compile this roster together with Sabonis, Fox, and DeRozan to be 12th in the West and to be scuffling and struggling.
No.
The idea was you won 46 games last year with Monk going down, Herter going down, probably lost some games you shouldn't have. You know what? You add DeMar to the fold. He'll be an upgrade over Harrison Barnes from a production standpoint. And the shooting will come back, right? It made sense. We all acknowledge the Kings' flaws still. In our heads, it still looked like it was going to be better than this on paper. And so even if you were the ones that like, you know, I'm not sure they're that much better. Even if you felt like they weren't that much better, I still think you probably thought they were a mid 40 win team.
That's me. Because how many times you said 50 plus, blah, blah, blah. I was like, I'm just not there. And I thought, I still think your reasoning is valid. Absolutely. The understand, like, yes, your breakdown of it and analyzing the roster, what's on paper. Absolutely. And analyzing going back with track record. And then you see the way that they started the season shooting, you laugh, you giggle, and you're like,
they'll be fine.
There's no way it could be that bad.
Just imagine when they start falling.
They're gonna start falling. Like, if you've played basketball even at a high level, you know as a shooter, like, you can be streaky, you can have all these things. Like, shit happened. Yeah. Yes. But shit isn't just happening. That's what it feels like the identity is of the shooting. And that to me is very scary because we have a big enough sample size now, Deuce. This isn't, we're not like, oh, cute, five games in.
18 games 18, in. Yeah, this is enough.
This happened so fast.
So they lose 130-109. The other problem with tonight, the minutes, man.
Oh, yes.
The minutes. And this is, again, this is what we talk about. Like, this loss, we've seen this one before, right? A game where you shoot 25% from three. Tonight, Keegan played 38 minutes. De'Aaron played just under 40 minutes. Sabonis, thankfully, was at 35. DeRozan at 35. But Keegan and Fox are playing close to 40 minutes. It's not sustainable. And so, you know, Fox finally has an off game offensively. Gee, I wonder. He's playing 40 minutes every single night. Like, this is not sustainable, right? Keegan, he's asked to go defensive of the better guys in the league. Go rebound. Go chase these guys around. Oh, by the way, we need you to defend guards, bigs. And can you try to make some shots? Be aggressive offensively. Attack the glass. Play 40 minutes. It's not sustainable.
Because everything you just say, like, in that, when you describe what you're supposed to do as that position, that player, you're supposed to do that. You're supposed to do all those things, and you're supposed to do it at a high level. And you're supposed to do both. Yes. But that is the whole point. The minutes of it. Doing that for how many minutes is not sustainable. You need other guys within the rotation to be able to at least give you one of those things at a very high level. Where it used to be even like Trey Lyles, who was, okay, hey, if Keegan's not making shots, at least, you know, Keegan coming or Trey Lyles coming off the bench is making his threes. You know, you can depend. Oh, and he's a big, strong guy. Like, you can depend on him out there. But he's not even giving you that, and then obviously leaves with the calf.
Yeah, he plays only 5.5 minutes in this game. Kevin Herter, who came off the bench tonight, 10 minutes tonight, 10.5 minutes. He did not score, 0-for-2, and got absolutely hunted defensively. Not good. Isaac Jones ends up playing just under 10 minutes in this one. He came in for Lyles, played for a couple of minutes, went out. At one point, played next to Sabonis. Then he got some late run in this game, too. He had 6 points. But, you know, you imagine you're going to see more of him. And then the rest of the crew, McLaughlin, McDermott, Colby Jones, who had been in the rotation, Alex Len, and those guys get in. Orlando Robinson doesn't play. So didn't really, you don't feel like you have much of a bench at this point. And that's the other thing with Herter. It's like, I know this is one game of him coming off the bench, but I'm like,
yeah,
dude, like you're coming off a scoreless game when you played 30 minutes. I need you to come off the bench tonight and just accept your role and lock in and be ready to go. Come in, knock down some shots, make some shit happen. I try to make some plays defensively.
I think he has the mental capacity to do so now. I think he's grown. He's matured. I think he really can shift that. We saw how late we got the announcement of that starting group. So I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but
I don't think so.
Okay. So either way, though, you have, he can make that shift. He just has to do it. But Deuce, he wasn't even making that shift consistently as a starter this season. You saw his defense
through a stretch
take a step. Yeah, but it's his on-ball defense against someone like SGA and Cam Thomas.
He shouldn't be on those guys.
That's my point. Yep. It's like that should not be happening. And that's going to happen too. There's going to be someone on so many different rosters that become that liability on the defensive end. Absolutely, that happens. But why is that happening so much when Kevin Herter is out there? You know, like, why is he getting hunted that many times when you just have to understand your personnel?
So where do they go from here? I think the start of Keon Ellis was a smart play. I think long-term, you got to stick with that. You got to stick with Keon Ellis in the starting lineup. I thought in that first half, if we want to go on a bright side, I thought defensively, the Kings were super active defensively in that first half.
Sure.
They were fighting hard. I felt like the pace offensively was still really good.
It's fast.
They played tempo, really quick, getting into their early yep. offense. And so I think on paper, you go, putting Keon in that starting lineup was probably overdue. I know there are a lot of people like, oh, he should have done that a long time ago. Look, you needed to see what Kevin can give you. Kevin, in his first year, was awesome in Sacramento. Year two, we know what happened, then the injury. You wanted to give him a shot. He also makes a good amount of money. And from yeah. a just a value perspective, the last thing you want is a guy not to be productive who's making starter level money in the NBA. And now he's coming off your bench. You feel like you devalue him a little bit if you end up moving him down the road. So that makes life a little more challenging. So I think the thought was like, you get him going. He's in the right mindset. Let's see what it looks like. But I think what we've noticed is, one, he has not been able to knock down shots. How much of that is not getting into the same flow as he was in year one, playing with DeMar DeRozan, Fox, and Sabonis now? There's just more mouths to feed. It's possible, but like, you also have to adjust your game and make an impact when you get these opportunities. And he got open shots, not making open shots.
Yeah.
So now you make the move, put Keon in there. I think that's the right move going forward. Now the challenge begins, like, how much time is Trey Lyles missing? What's that do for the rotation? I don't know, man.
Tough spot to be
in. They're in a really tough spot. I mean, yeah. I can't sit here tonight and be like, hey, these are the things that they have to do, and they'll turn it around fast. It's like, is Keegan going to be able to knock down threes at any point again? It doesn't feel like at the moment he's going to, because he's under, you know, 29% from three-point land this year. He's getting good looks. The last two games, he's gotten open looks. He's not making them. I don't think that all falls on him. I've said it from the jump. I said it over the summer. I've said it in the season. You need more wings on this team. So Keegan Murray's not playing 38 minutes a night, so he doesn't have to check the best guy all the time. Allow him to free up so he has the energy and the capacity, the bandwidth to go out there and attack offensively and knock down shots. De'Aaron Fox, asking a lot of him. If you're going to try to win with this team, you have to put the right pieces around this team and give them the supporting cast that's going to elevate them and get going in the right direction. If this continues to go downhill, then you start going into the tough conversations about blowing everything up.
What I will say, though, is, again, going into this season, on paper, you would have thought that the supporting cast of shooters, even Kevin Herter, Malik Monk, Trey Lyles, Keon Ellis, these guys who could shoot the basketball would be just fine as a supporting cast surrounding DeMar DeRozan attacking and playmaking, De'Aaron Fox attacking and playmaking, Domas Sabonis always, initiating the offense. But you go down the list and you aren't getting that specifically, the shooting from the supporting cast. And then on top of that, there's a few of them that can end up being a liability on the defensive end and so on.
Yeah, just you just see all these other teams. They just look like more athletic. They've got length.
They make their threes. Size,
they knock down threes. Like every other team in the league, I watch them, but they make threes. Cool. That's I remember when the Kings used to do that. Yeah, but it's like then you get into the conversation. I know everyone starts talking about, well, Trey, make this trade, do this. I don't know. Like, is the trade market going yet? Like, how do you get that going if you need it to get going? Like, then can you afford to wait till January, February to do something? It doesn't feel that way at the moment. They're in a really, really tough spot. And I think the most disappointing thing is like not taking care of some of these Eastern Conference opponents, being 4-6 at home. Like all the things like with now 18 games, these are all troubling signs. That doesn't give you a lot of faith that it can turn around with this particular group. Like, I think if you are sitting here tonight going, Deuce and Mo, my goodness, how much wine have you had tonight? Are you okay? Are you in your feelings? They could still turn around. There's plenty of time. There's no denying there's plenty of season left. I'm not saying the season's over tonight, but based on what's been in front of us this year, why should we have any level of confidence that all of a sudden, they're going to go from the worst three-point shooting team in the league to being middle of the pack. Who's going to start knocking them down? Because I'm of the mindset that Keegan is going to have hot days and he's going to have the cold days, but he's had more cold than hot because of what's being asked from him. Malik can maybe knock some more down.
I mean, he knocked one down on Isaiah Hartenstein, that little step back.
He was 2-7, though.
I know.
First game back.
But my brain started spiraling on its own.
Sorry.
Thinking about these threes, because whenever we break them down, I'm like, why to the threes? And I look at some of these defenses, and I think about their length in that contest. And that much further on somebody, it's not about just having an inch. Sometimes you need more like a foot away to have that confidence in your shot. And with some of these shots that the Kings are taking, I feel like they look good. They're in rhythm. They're in transition. They're spray three. So I don't look at all these defenses that the Kings have played being like, that's what's altering their threes every single time, blah, blah, blah. It's like they're literally not making them.
I mean, we talked about this last night on the podcast. Like the numbers for guys between 4-6 with a defender within 4-6 feet, those are considered open threes in the league. And the numbers are like beyond disappointing. I put them out there earlier today, but coming into this game, this is almost crazy, dude. The guys you count on to hit threes are not. Lyles coming in tonight was shooting 33%. He was shooting 26.3% on open threes. McDermott, 32% shooting, 26% on open threes. Keegan came in tonight shooting 29.9%, 19.4% on open threes. Herter came in tonight shooting 29%, 26% on open threes. Monk just under 28% from three on the season, 31% on open threes. You know, and that's where like people want to talk about, yeah, but the fit with DeMar and like, I don't know, like, does it look the same? It doesn't look the same because guys don't make shots. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Like tonight, the first half was free flowing. Everything looked good. Even DeMar was playing with pace. They got good looks and they knocked down 7 threes. It was great. It was awesome. Second half, I give a lot of credit to OKC's defense tonight on this, but like, last night against the Nets, they missed a ton of great looks that would have won them the game. So, you know, someone in the chat, Melvin saying legs. I'm not blaming legs for Kevin Huerter or Trey Lyles.
I mean, trust me, I'm someone that's always about, I'm all about the base. You get that? But seriously, when you are shooting these shots, you're doing a lot on the defensive end. I always go, okay, how much base are they using? You know, how much strength do they have there? And they're actually using in rhythm. Look at their shooting mechanics. It is all in one motion. And sometimes what I can't tell in fast real time away from the court is how is it coming off their hand, or is there not enough arc, or, did someone screw with their vision because they're running them off the 3-point line? Those are the things I need to look at, but usually I don't feel like it's legs. And I know tonight is the second night of a back-to-back, sure, but I still did not feel that even late in this game necessarily.
Herter, after he made that, he had that 5-of-12 from downtown game against the Utah Jazz on Saturday, November 16th, when the Kings won that game. Since then, he is 2-for-21 from 3-point land. That's over a 4 game stretch, 2-for-21 from 3.
You know,
so go ahead.
It's concerning because it's not like all those old years where you're just like, oh, this team sucks or anything like that. That's what sucks about this. It's like this team has good individuals, and I just don't understand. Sometimes, like, it's not like, oh, I don't understand why it's not working. I don't understand why shots aren't falling. Like we said, even defensively, there are times where this Kings team does not look atrocious out there. When we used to talk about this Kings defense and be like, oh my God, no one can even rotate over, be in the right spot at the right time. No one's talking. You know, De'Aaron used to not play at this level every single night of being up in guys, like, relentless. You add someone like Keegan Murray who took a leap in his defensive skills.
Well, coming into tonight, they were allowing the most open 3-point attempts in the league. But teams are shooting 32% on those open looks. So maybe they're allowing the right guys to take those shots. I'm with you. I think at times the defense has been far ahead of where I think the offense should be. Based on the talent. Yes. Again, that goes to the shooting. Appreciate everyone in the chat. We have a different tone tonight. I feel like we are in this, like, last night was like, oh my God, did they really lose to the Nets at home? Like, oh, this is crazy. Where tonight it feels like reality setting in a little bit more of like, okay, this is where we are at. And so it's an interesting tone. In the chat, Julio says, Deuce is bailing out Fox too much. How is he being asked to do too much? Does he want a championship? Again, I'm just being honest with you. If you have a problem with De'Aaron Fox this year, then I don't know that you're really paying much attention.
I think he has a problem. I think he's acting like, it's the same thing that I said when we were talking about we want players to do all the things that we were talking about. But who said that to you? What's his name?
Julio.
But the point to it, Julio, is the amount of minutes doing that every single night. The best players around the league aren't doing that for 40
They're getting some
minutes
help.
A night.
Yeah.
The point to it.
Getting some help. Ian in the chat says, yes, Deuce, join the panic side. # rebuild. Donating $2. Oscar, Sack is still lucky to have the Deuce and Mo podcast every game. That was sweet of you. That made me feel a little bit better.
Very sweet.
Gabriel wants to trade Kevin Herter for Caitlin Clark.
Can't do it.
I mean,
Gabriel wants to trade someone every single night.
I know, but for Caitlin Clark, that makes some sense. Okay, thank you. Kevin Durant, sign me. I'm the real Kevin Durant. Light the beam, donates $2.
Kevin.
Homer James donates $5, saying, stay positive. We added a major piece. It takes time. Injuries start the year. It's not about how you start. It's about how you finish. Give it time. And then Jacob donates $2. Trades need to happen and more aggressiveness.
I love how it's just everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, to Homer James's point, there is plenty of time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But there's also competition in your conference that is staggering. And there are other teams who are like starting to get healthy again. Like Durant and Beal are coming back for Phoenix. They got off to a hot start, right? Dallas,
They're hanging tough with Luka out. Kyrie's been on an absolute tear. Najee Marshall has been playing well for them. So, like, we're not even talking about OKC and Denver, who got their ass kicked tonight, but, like, they're just the West is stacked.
And throughout an NBA season, 82 games, a team is going to see their ups and downs.
Sure.
They're going to see, you know, and, oh, that was a bad night, whatever. But when you are starting off the season with a big enough sample size of this is not good, it only gives you so much room of error on the back end of shit. And especially when you go strength of schedule for the Sacramento Kings and you look at the teams that they're going to be playing, it gets a little bit scary. Not to say that they can't win those games and they can't figure it out and all those things, but you don't get as many F-ups as you did in the beginning of the season to figure it out. And it feels like they're not figuring it out along the way of the F-ups, if that makes sense.
Kings are 8-10. Portland's right behind them at 7-11. Minnesota, their next opponent, is 8-8 right now. The Spurs ahead of Sacramento, 9-8. Dallas, without Luka during the stretch, 10-8. Denver lost tonight, 9-7. The Suns, 9-7, getting some guys back. The Clippers lost tonight. They're 11-8. Memphis, I haven't really talked much about them. They've had some injuries. John Morant just got back tonight. They beat Portland. They're 11-7. The Lakers, they've lost a couple in a row. They're 10-6. Houston, 12-6. Golden State, 12-5. Oklahoma City, 13-4. So, yeah, I think if you are from the optimistic standpoint, you're like, yeah, it's pretty tight in the Western Conference. Sure, it is. But, like, I also think that the schedule thing, like, can't get ignored. Of course, I'm not going to project what the Kings' strength of schedule. Like, everyone's like, oh, the Kings have the hardest schedule the rest of the way based on the numbers. Who the hell knows what that really means?
And how come, much it changes.
You know, February, March, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But what I can look is coming up, and I'm like, man, you've punted on the West. Can I read you a tweet today that depressed me?
Oh, please.
It's supposed to be therapy tonight, right?
Yeah. And then I have something to say too.
So Jason Timpf put this out. Here's a crazy stat. The Western Conference is 44-25 against the East head to head so far this year. For perspective, the second highest interconference win percentage in league history and the highest since the East won 71% of interconference games in 1960. Meaning, the West has never played better against the Eastern Conference. You have to go all the way back to 1960. Meanwhile, Sacramento's lost to Toronto, Atlanta, Brooklyn.
And it's how they lost, you guys. It's not like, oh my God, those are old, they were cool. It's how. The house. Yeah. I will say, too, because I think as much as this is like therapy, breaking down what we felt like happened in tonight's game, because against Brooklyn, it didn't feel like there was much to break down. It was just like, this is not pretty. Tonight, there was a whole half of good. And almost a half of a third quarter of really good.
Can I ask you a question about this? What? Because we watch enough basketball, right?
Yeah, what?
I just feel like that's... Even bad teams can be in a game and for a half. And that's where like I get concerned about, right? And I sound like I'm doom and deuce right now, and I kind of am.
We've seen it. We saw it with OKC. I forget we were watching anything against the Hawks or something.
OKC and Atlanta through three quarters in Oklahoma City like 3 weeks ago.
Looked
it was
like,
oh my God. And then OKC turned on because that's what great teams do. And so like me, it's even though I saw something good in the first half, I'm like, how much can we really hang on to that first half? Mm-hmm. You know, like how much can you take from that? And I don't know. I'm not saying don't take anything from
you
it.
Do,
but
you have what you have to take from it. Is the understanding of that is the style of basketball that needs to be played, that effort, that energy, the shot making, the locked in mentally and physically. That is the type of basketball you have to play through four quarters. And especially when you're a team like the Sacramento Kings, you don't have all the length, all the bigs in the world. You don't have all the depth in the world. You don't even have people making their shots right now. That style, though, can lead to a lot of success, especially against bad teams. You're playing one of the better teams in the league tonight, but you play like that for four quarters against a bad team. My point is, it feels like it's doable because this is a team that understands that. But when you don't see it consistently enough, it's a little scary.
Yeah, and I guess if you get that first half against the Clippers or the Nets or the Hawks,
yeah,
maybe we're having a different conversation right now. And it's like, oh, the Kings have won 3 of 4. That OKC lost. And, that was tough, man. They're not as good as OKC.
Yeah.
But it's the whole picture. I guess my question for you now would be this. Do you have any confidence or explain to me how you think that this can turn around?
I'm not freaking out. I feel
like we sound like we're freaking out this entire podcast.
No, I don't feel good about a lot of things right now. I don't. Like,
do you think that this team, as currently constructed with the pieces that they have, and let's just pretend there's no trade coming anytime soon. I mean, let's just be realistic about it. Like, if a trade happens in the next month, it would be a surprise. Okay? So let's just pretend this is what the team is.
Uh-huh.
Can this team do enough to get back into this playoff mix and be competitive in the Western Conference?
I'm sure they believe that in themselves, because I do believe that they have good players besides the stars on this team. But I think I'd be a fool to sit here and say that when they're showing me something different. You know, if it quacks like a... No, I'm kidding. But truly, they're showing me that track record doesn't matter right now with the shooting. So why am I all of a sudden going to just keep pushing that narrative in my head? Like, it will get better, though. It will get better. And there, it could. It absolutely could. They've done it before. But right now, I'm just not feeling good about that.
We got more coming up. We should mention that tonight's podcast presented by our friends over at Mother Restaurant in Sacramento. I may need to get some Mother tomorrow. I need to, you know, sometimes it, just a nice meal kind of warms your soul.
Oh, that's what Mother will do. And you can go in any day of the week right now, you guys, in November and get 50% off your entire meal if you bring a photo of your grandmother or mother.
It's also a great time to do it before Thanksgiving. You don't want to cook like the lead up. No. So go to 2319 K Street. You can also order online at mothersacramento.com. I'm sure Mike's hurting tonight. Big Kings fan.
Yeah.
Mike Leeson and Rob Sacramentans, and they have been part of the restaurant community for such a long time. They make amazing food. You should check them out today. Mother, 2319 K Street. Also presented today by our friends over at Golden One Credit Union. We are all one, Morgan.
Okay, we are all one, but I knew already that Golden One had all these different perks of the game. You get upgraded, blah, blah, blah. Then I saw, they have the guy shooting out there, and it's for Golden One, and he won just a shit ton of money for making some shots out there. So basically, become a member and you can get so many opportunities to win so many different things.
Yeah, you also get some exclusive Kings perks, like up to 50% off Kings home games, 15% off merch when you use your Golden One card at the Kings team store. So many opportunities. You can scan the QR code on the screen to see their range of products and services to help start your financial journey today. That's how you win as one. Check out goldenone.com. Also presented by our friends over at Northwest Exteriors. If you're in the market for a new home, rewind. Can you hear rewind, please?
You did that last time.
No, I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Did what? This same mess up?
Yeah,
but you could just buy in and hit the rewind.
Oh.
Thank you. This episode of the podcast is also presented by our friends over at Northwest Exteriors. If you're in the market for new windows on your home, there's no better place to go than the experts at Northwest Exteriors, Morgan.
Yeah, if there's something that can make you happy, it's saving money, okay? Even if the Kings are losing, you're like, okay, well, how can I be happy? Get new windows on your house and get happy. Not only will it make your home looks so beautiful. And I know there's so many people out there who are intimidated by like home improvements, all the different things. They're so great. They will help you out with all the different things, show you all the different options. So make sure to reach out to Northwest Exteriors today.
They're also offering to give you a $109 window buyback offer. Also, they will donate $20 to the Warrior Foundation Freedom Station. For each window purchase, the foundation supports veterans. That offer expires December 29th, 2024. So don't waste any time. Go check out northwestexteriors.com because Morgan Regan, they are
simply the best. Trust Northwest.
Who should be the player of the game tonight, Morgan?
SGA?
Simply the best player of the game.
Ugh.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Annoying.
37 points, 11 assists, 4 rebounds. He did on 13 of 20, shooting 4 of 7 from downtown. It's I watch a lot of NBA basketball on League Pass, but seeing some of these guys in person just gives you a whole another respect for what they're able to do. He was tremendous. He's simply the best player of the game presented by Northwest Exteriors. Check out TrustNorthwest.com. The other thing is, like, Hartenstein is such a massive dude.
Yeah.
Like, seeing him on the court before the game, I'm like, this guy's a giant.
Yeah.
Just a brick wall. And he sets such amazing screens for SGA.
Yeah.
What do you make that face for?
I only made that face because I saw, like, one or two illegal ones. By the way,
all the guys do it.
I know.
Sabonis sets illegal ones all the time.
I was already upset. Like, I was upset. So then when I was, like, seeing it, I was like, I'm disgusted by this nature. And can you believe we called some of his G League games?
Yeah, back with the Rio Grande Valley Vipers.
And I'll never forget in one specific game, he would come up the floor, get the ball at the top to initiate the offense, and he would travel. Every time. And I said on the broadcast, I'm like, he's traveling. Every day he's taking 3 steps, like getting into the ball, and just to see the way that this man has developed into a fantastic NBA player. So physical, so beastly out there. He's really good. And you're right.
He's got the little floater.
It's great. The finesse on that shot.
How about the one shot he took? He was like falling away, like pure trash. I literally did this. I went like this.
That so many times.
You're not making that. But no, he's a guy that has worked on his game and like built from it. And look at him, former G League guy, now getting paid a shit ton of money on a championship level team. And that Oklahoma City team, you just look at them and you're like, it's, man, talk about doing it right. You know,
Took a long time.
You say that, but like, think about their history with KD, Westbrook.
I see.
Harden, Ibaka, yes. Then, you know, transitioning. You had Paul George there for a second. Then they, you know, decide to blow it up. They have a team that no one thought was going to be good with Chris Paul and SGA.
Oh, my
right?
God.
Everyone's like, oh, Chris Paul's not going to stay in OKC. It's going to be bad. They make the playoffs that bubble year. And then eventually they have a bad year. SGA is, like, kind of banged up. But what they did was kind of brilliant. One, the Paul George trade ended up being a swing and a home run.
Yep.
But in addition to that, they tanked during the pandemic. There was no better time to tank than during the pandemic when
fans can't be in the building.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I guess in Oklahoma City, I think everyone was allowed in. They actually like allowed more and more people to come in, right? Hey, no.
Make sure you cheer really loud.
Yeah. Get in here tight. I know it says 18,000 capacity. It doesn't matter. Let's get 30 in here. no, all kidding aside, though, like it was such a brilliant time to kind of do that. And then they get in a position, draft Chet. He's out right now, but that's where you just look at their roster up and down, and they just find players who can make an impact. AJ Mitchell tonight, the rookie, 15 points off the bench. Kenrich Williams had a big impact off the bench. Isaiah Joe, who the Sixers just cast off at one point. OKC swoops in. This guy's a lethal shooter. Cason Wallace, what a draft pick. Just comes out there, does his job, comes out there, defends. I mean, what? He comes in on that jump ball. Remember the jump ball that happened? Oh, yeah. Gets it, takes it coast to coast. Yeah. Just how they built this one out. And, you know, then they get Jalen Williams from Santa Clara.
Yep.
That was a hell of a pickup.
It sure was.
And when did he get drafted?
I don't know.
Like 13? those are the moves, man. Sam Presti's the GOAT, man. He was, let's look at Jalen Williams. He was drafted
12th
overall in that 2022 draft. That's the same year, that draft they get Chet and Jalen Williams. Are you shitting me?
Pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say. And so just how they built this out, and then they continue to find guys that can help them. When Chet gets back, Caruso really hasn't played well for them. He's banged up right now. What an unbelievable team. And a young team, too. That's the other thing. They're still a very young team.
Well, and it's fun, too, because you see the patience that went in and the trust that went into Sam Presti. Like, the organization trusted the process and what it could lead to. And I do believe in patience. But with patience, also, you can make tweaks without it being a bang, a splash, all the different things. Like, when something is broke, fix it. Fix it.
Mark Daigneault, he was
their
G League coach.
Yeah.
And now he's one of the best coaches in the league.
Look at the development of so many of these guys, the coaches. I mean, even
finding guys that you taking chances on guys, and they're all not going to work.
Yeah.
I'm not acting like they haven't made some mistakes, but like, you see their guys, they have impacts around the league.
The old OKC Blue head coach is on the staff too. You know, I saw him out there today, and I'm just like, they believe in teaching and developing everyone the right way. I mean, it's incredible what they've been able to do. And they're so fun to watch, whether it's a league pass game. Even tonight, it was fun because it was competitive. And then when it wasn't, I probably text you, fuck, like 7 times. Just like...
Yeah, I was in my feelings at the end. Yeah. I've been in my feelings this whole podcast. I guess what I said at the top still stands. I am not mentally prepared for a bad year. You know, like, Kings fans, we've seen some shit. We've been through a lot. Yeah. A lot. I mean, hell, this is year 40 in Sacramento. How many winning seasons have they had?
How many?
10.
10.
Okay. 10 winning seasons, right? Mm-hmm. That's not
good. It's a lot of losing.
Yeah. And two of those have been the last 2 years. Yep. So not a lot of winning. Mm-hmm. You had that 16-year playoff drought. We've had multiple relocation sagas, almost losing the team. And so when you have like a couple year stretch where it feels like it's going in the right direction, now like the rug feels like it's being pulled from underneath, you start being fearful. And I'm like, I'm not ready for this team to be bad. I'm like, all right, what's the pivot to tweak this to get competitive? Because this season still has time left. You can still make the appropriate tweak and take off. You think about what Dallas did last year. I know you don't have Luka and Kyrie here, but you do have some talented players. They make a couple of tweaks. It changes everything for them last year. They make it to the NBA Finals. So I'm not suggesting the Kings are going to make a tweak to get to the NBA Finals, but what I'm saying is there is still time left to do something to get this going in the right direction. Yeah. I am not mentally ready to be like, well, man, it's time to blow it up.
No.
Let's go. Kind of embrace the tank. Cooper flag. Like, I may be an idiot, but I'm just not there yet. Give me some sustained success for once. Give me some stability for once. Give me some joy. Give me a 6, 7, 8 year run of competitive basketball where I can enjoy it. I am not ready to lose.
That feel good?
Not really.
Oh, wow. Another game coming up Wednesday, bud.
Wednesday against Minnesota. Minnesota team that's kind of scuffling right now. Yeah. They just lost to Boston. They tried to come back, got competitive at the end. But Minnesota, it's been clunky for them too. The Randall move hasn't looked completely great.
Sure.
DiVincenzo hasn't been a good fit. Sacramento's played two really awesome games against them this year. You go back to opening night, and of course the game in which De'Aaron Fox scored 60 points against them. It's tough. I mean, at this point, it's not about, like, we can talk about the other team and be like, yeah, but look at who the Kings have lost to recently. It's more about them and figuring out if they could find a way
to knock down some shots, find a way to put more complete basketball together and give them a chance to win.
I need to see it for my soul on this holiday week.
So we're doing pregame and postgame for NBC Sports California Wednesday
and Friday.
Thanksgiving in between. We're doing a members only chat on Patreon for
Tuesday
at 6 p.m. You can also watch it on demand. Patreon.com/@DeuceandMo. We do it every month. And we'll be doing it tomorrow. Can't wait.
Thank you to all of our members, by the way. You know, a lot of you, or some of you, and watch live, but I know a lot of you watch it later. We're already getting members-only chat emails where people submit questions. I saw one earlier talking about Royale being a real curse. They're feeling like it's a real curse ever since he's been killed off.
When did he get killed off?
Thrown in a dumpster?
No, but when was that? Was that the Minnesota game or was that the Utah game? Because here's the thing. You can't call it a curse if they've like won with it. Him being dead.
Okay, since he was announced and then dead?
No, I mean, they've won.
Okay.
We don't believe in curses. This is where we have to get with Sacramento. And this is back in the day, it was like Arco Arena was built on an Indian burial ground. Like that's what.
And there's a clown tunnel.
There's a clown tunnel. It's haunted. There's all these like curses. You know, you're not cursed. You're just bad. It's okay.
Okay. So DeMar DeRozan all of a sudden has a back injury when he's like the most reliable guy and always stays on the floor.
He's fine tonight, Morgan.
And then he misses some free throws at times, and like he never misses free throws.
DeMar DeRozan, by the way, had 30 points tonight, 13 of 21 shooting.
Yeah.
He was 4-4 at the
free throw. I loved his baseline middies tonight.
How about the DeMar DeRozan jam tonight? Sabonis had him? God, there's nice. So many good things we saw in the first half.
I know. It's tough. Again, usually Deuce and I usually do a pretty good job in losses talking about even the good, and then we'll get some a-holes in the chat being like, "Well, could you even sounding good when they lose? The world is dark, blah, blah, blah." But truly, not all losses are created equally. So even though there was a good first half, it's just really hard to go over all of DeMar's 30 points tonight and a lot of the good.
He was getting to his spots, knocking down shots. But that dunk and one from Sabonis was sweet. My other play that I liked from the first quarter, Keegan put the ball on the floor and attacked Hartenstein, lowered his shoulder at Hartenstein.
Oh, yeah.
He missed the shot, but then he got the put back. And I'm like, oh, man, Keegan, you're not just attacking the small guys. You're going after Hartenstein?
What about?
I like seeing that.
Keegan's on-ball defense early on SGA. Yeah. He's like active hands and then gets in, ripped away from him. Like, yeah!
I think that was the move tonight. I need to see more Keegan or Fox on him. Not, you know, they messed it. Like, Keon really struggled with SGA tonight, too.
Yeah. I mean, that's.
Herter, yeah.
It's tough.
Yeah, you know, why are you bringing me back down by bringing that up? We were talking about good plays.
I only talked about good plays. I talked about, you brought it down. I said Keegan stealing the ball from SGA, and then you started talking about how there wasn't enough people. Like, what? Why am I taking that blame?
What do you think when Hartenstein was just pouring blood from his face?
Oh, I didn't see that.
You didn't see that?
No.
Yeah, he left the game. He had to go.
I saw him leave the game, but I didn't see it pouring blood. I could not see.
Sabonis made contact with him.
Oh, and I remember. Well, okay. I literally did not see the blood. So,
In the chat, Keegan was very aggressive. At least a couple of games. He's growing. Yep. Look, feel bad tonight. Feel bad. Wake up tomorrow. You could feel a little bad tomorrow. But it's also like a holiday week for a lot of you guys, so don't feel bad. Yeah. Get ready for Wednesday. Lock in for Wednesday.
Yeah.
Kings Tea Pups. Let's go. It's an opportunity. It's a fresh start. You're not going to lose the rest of the games, right? You got to win someday. And as our dear friend Coach Nick would once say, why not win?
Why not win
tomorrow? Give me your final thoughts, Morgan.
Final thoughts. You know, there's still a lot of season left, and I think it would be irrational to not say right now, like, yeah, they can absolutely turn things around. There's just less room now to make a lot of mistakes. So hopefully, whatever direction that this team ends up going, if it's with this same roster, hopefully they can make their shots. And if it's not, hopefully it's the right addition. So I'm just in this place of just like hopefulness, and I'll kind of just stay right there right now.
My final thought is this podcast has been weird. We haven't had a weird podcast in a long time. I felt like this was a strange one.
Because it was just hard to be happy? Like, why?
I don't know. It was just, it's very like, maybe it's just back-to-back nights of like, oh my God, this is tough.
Yeah, and it's a shit ton of back-to-backs, dude.
Win or lose, we'll be ready to go Wednesday night.
Yeah, we will.
And we'll have, it's our Thanksgiving show.
Are we going to do our Thanksgiving show from the studio in San Francisco then?
I think so. Yeah, that's
what I was planning on doing.
We'll be in San Francisco for that. Cool. And we'll talk about what we're thankful for.
It better be good.
It's going to be a long list, huh?
And we can't drink wine there.
Well, we appreciate you guys so much. If you have ideas on how to fix this, drop them in the comments below after the show. You can always email us to deuceandmo@gmail.com. We've been through tough times over the past. We'll get through this together.
Yeah.
We love you guys, but we got to go.
It's a bameless night as I lay here sleepless. It's a bameless night as I'm waiting for you. There's no victories when you're not shining. And now my soul is as dark as the sky. Maybe I don't even need you. Maybe I don't even think you. Maybe you're just nothing but a dream. Because it's a bameless night as I lay here sleepless. It's a bameless night and waiting for you. There's no victories when you're not shining. And now my soul is as dark as the sky.
Can you give me, will the beam come out tomorrow or whatever? How's it go?
The beam will come out tomorrow. Bet your bottom dollar that tomorrow the Kings will win. Just thinking about tomorrow. What a way to celebrate at Harlow's. Time for games. When I think of the, I don't know the rest of it.
You wrote the song, but thank you for doing that.
I did it literally just for you.
We appreciate you guys so much, but we really have to go. Love you.
Bye.
Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know. Deuce and Mo.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.